Dearly as a result of this additional source of extremely high quality energy exchange in my life, and as a result also of Don's inviting Jim to join L.L. Research and to work with us full time, we were able to begin receiving the counter with those of Ra that became our most advanced research result to date. It also placed Don in a position where he was vulnerable to doubting that the agreement I had made with Jim to be his lover was not a threat to my commitment to Don as my mate. This set him up for a successful psychic greeting that ended with his descent into insanity and suicide. Don's choice of remaining single and celibate, then, though it dashed all my hopes for a conventional married life with a home and children, set us up both for the very highest culmination of Don's and my life work and for the misunderstanding between us that led to his death. It is to be emphasized that Don was always doing his level best to be in relationship with and a good companion to me. He was just poor at relating to himself or anyone else. His choice from early in life was repression of all preferences, even from his own notice. But we were so strongly attracted on so many levels, we both felt we had to be together. We served each other to the very best of our ability. His confusion, and my own, were in addition to our profound love of each other and of our work together. Relationships are often tangled one way or another, for, ironically, when we wish to avoid entanglement and commitment, we can weave an intricate web. But no matter how puzzling at times, we need to be aware of the great gift of relationship, and find thankfulness and appreciation for the chance to love and be loved. Let us look at this plan. The entity who gets the opportunity to incarnate within your density upon your sphere first goes through the process of creating the scenario or the screenplay, shall we say, for your personal movie of life. You choose the cast. You choose who shall play mother, father, spouse, lover, friend, enemy and so forth. You make agreements with these entities, not within the earth plane, but within the finer world which this instrument calls the inner planes. No matter how difficult the relationships seem or how much pain has been experienced, this was part of your own choice. It may be difficult to believe or to understand how you would wish to choose to ask yourself to suffer, yet we can only say that when one is outside of the illusion that you now enjoy, it seems like child's play, and a good kind of playing at that, to plunge into the sea of confusion and to swim about in its waters. 45, 285, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. If we lose track of this attitude of thankfulness, even for the difficulties of relationships, we are very vulnerable to bitterness and disappointment, which is a good and cleansing catalyst, but is self-inflicted. In far, by holding on to expiations of a relationship that have not come to fruition as we had hoped, we may well block the healing of our incarnation until after our physical death. If one has created the hoped-for ions within an incarnation but has been unable to balance relationships created or taken up again in the process of offering the service to the creation, there will not be the clarity of perspective necessary in order to effect further healing. For many entities, then, the incarnation shall not be healed within the incarnation because there has been created within the seeker no firm rock, depending solely upon the relationship with the Creator, upon which that balance might be viewed clearly. 46 Relationships, for all their worth and centrality in learning and service, are hard. Realize that all relationships within the density that you now enjoy, with very few exceptions, go through difficult times, not just once but cyclically. Do not be afraid of these times, but rather gaze at what unites the two rather than what separates you, one from the other. Do this for the love of your mate, for your love of self and, above all, for your overarching desire to be part of the good that comes to the Creator's heart. 47 If this is not done, the relationships becomes unacceptable, and we lose a source of much learning. Usually, those relationships which one finds unacceptable for one reason or another are a substantial portion of the catalyst for learning that you yourself have set into motion before the incarnation. You are not faced with these unacceptable relationships because of some failure on your part to understand, or some failure on the offending entity's part. Rather, you are gazing at a situation and you may assume, in most cases, that this is not unacceptable in the deepest sense, but rather a condition of relationship that you yourself chose because you felt that there were, in your loving and compassionate nature, those difficulties within yourself which made the limits of your love and compassion, and the very power of your metaphysical or magical being, less. These you wished to bring into Pers 5.48, 286, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. When we hit a point of anger or irritation or some other kind of frustration in our relationships, then, those of you who say, examination will provide you the means, once again, of following a trail. The trail begins at the point at which frustration is noted. Look at the series of events, the relationships, the entities involved at each of the portions of the experience before you. Look at them not only in their practical and mundane senses of everyday levities, but look at them also as symbols of higher principles that are at work within your incarnational pattern. The more carefully you have observed patterns of all kinds within your incarnation, the more easily will you be able to connect the relationships of these patterns to the nature of the lessons that are yours to learn and the services that are yours to offer within your incarnation. 49. One thing that gets people in trouble in relationships is the concept of fair exchange. In the first place, it is my experience of relationships that people always feel they are giving more in the relationship than the other person. Ask the other person in such a pair, and we will hear the same thing. The opposite way. We all are very aware of how much we are working to help things out, and we are all very quick to judge the generosity of the attempts of the other. It is a human trait apparently as deep as our bones. It is seldom clear to us that we are biased. But I believe we can assume we are all biased when it comes to relationships. We always think we are doing more. In the second place, relationships are often unfair for various reasons. And this does not stop them from being good learning and serving opportunities. Love cannot be denied, however sometimes, for all our awareness and hard work, relationships fail. I have recently gone through a breakup similar to divorce, no legal marriage, just similar emotional ties. I have become angry, very angry, for the first time in a very long time. In far, I cannot remember feeling this negative towards another person. It is strange because this person is one who is attempting to live in light. He is beautiful. He is just not capable of sharing his love with another at this point in his life. He does not love himself yet, so he is on his journey. We have been separate for almost 5 months now. It is and has been one of the most painful situations I have dealt with. I am trying to deal with this, honor myself, recognize the spirit, learn my lessons and so forth. However, I cannot completely resolve this strong feeling of anger that I have towards him. I know I am not capable of holding on to this in a sense of a grudge. It is not my purpose. I am to share love. I know this. However, I shared, 287, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships, my love as freely as rain falling. I have not received this in return. In far, I have received pain. I am perplexed. The pain is so severe. This person was my best friend and the one that I thought paralleled my spirit. 5252 is seeing the self and the mate as two completely different souls, one of whom loved and gave all, one of whom disappointed totally. Lessons still to be gleaned at this stage of a relationship are those awarenesses we are able to find the humility to enter into. In terms of realizing what aspects of the negative things about the other are reflections of our natures that we ourselves can well learn from. This does not make the pain of seeming betrayal stop, but redirects useful spiritual thinking. One thing 252 does well here is create boundaries for closure. In terms of the stability and solidity of your waking personality, there is no harm in drawing limits. In creating boundaries for relationships that allow you and the other self a measure of comfort and freedom. 51. When it is time to say goodbye to a relationship, I do find it a sad thing. We cannot stop death from claiming our friends and loved ones, but we always hope we can find the right words and ions to come back into harmony with someone who still lives. I strongly believe in working to come back into balance with people, especially family members and important people in our lives. But goodbye does come, far too often for me. And there have been several times in my life where I felt it necessary to draw a boundary between myself and another whom I no longer trusted to treat me well. Marriage. One of L. Research's most faithful friends, our computer expert, Roman Vodasek, was talking to me recently about his relationship with a girlfriend. He was wishing that she would be as serious as he about commitment, so they could start a relationship. I shared with him my feeling that he was already in a perfectly good relationship. It might not be the one he has in mind, but it is the friendship that is real between them. However, I also know what he means, for he is, as many are, wishing for the bliss of romance and the promise and challenge of marriage. Having been very unsuccessful in my first marriage and having had a sustained, celibate 16-year unmarriage, I am aware of the many ways we can get sidetracked in and from marriage. Since marrying Jim in 1987, however, I have 288, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships become increasingly a marriage enthusiast, for although we had an excellent relationship before marriage, there was, with the marriage ceremony, an added gift that, through the years since, has richly blessed us both. That gift is the sacramental presence of the one infinite creator. In marriage, two imperfect beings ask to become one, to unite with each other and with the third party of deity itself. The nature, in truth, of metaphysical marriage contains a third party. In any metaphysical covenant there is a third party which overshadows both entities. You may call that being the creator in whatever face you see. Perhaps we would do best to call it living love. Those who do not marry and seek together, seek alone for the face of love. Those who seek through the covenant of marriage incorporate that which they seek into their seeking. This gives to those who grasp and understand the metaphysical meaning of marriage a gracefulness and a tenderness that would not come naturally otherwise. 52 Just as in our own working with self, we are encouraged to see that the chance to have a mate needs to be approached with the skill of a patient winnower of experience. Just as each awareness is arrived at through a process of analysis, synthesis and inspiration, so should the seeker approach its mate and evaluate each experience, seeking the jewel. 53 This jewel of unification is very real. There is nothing romantic or silly about it, in the sense that it is a beautiful ideal which does not hold power for the everyday life of the human being. Certainly, there is tremendous challenge here, but becoming one being is a very potent magical working, and blessed are those who are able to take this right literally and seriously indeed. It is true in that vague way that so many philosophical adages possess that, as John Donne said, the bell tolls for us all, we are all members of each other, we are all one. But in marriage, two become one flesh, and what happens to one happens to both. Those of you who respond here to a questioner whose mate is ill, be respectful of the duty you chose to shoulder in this incarnation. Realize that very few wanderers awaken to the extent that those present have awakened, and then see that the illusion is going to seem, for those who are this much awake, ever less harmonious, ever more deleterious to the sensitized physical vehicle. Why this and not that mate? Why the illness here and not there? Think not upon that, for the mated entity, the I.A.M. of the two, had this illness. It is manifesting partially by 1.289, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships entity seeming weak, partially by one entity seeming strong, by one entity seeming to be unable and the other seeming to be able. But we ask each who seems to be so able, how able do you feel? And we ask each who seems to be so weak, how weak is your spirit now? We ask you simply to gaze upon the remainder of this incarnation in peace. The only thing you need ask of yourself is to work on harmony with the mate as first priority among all things, to ask of the self not what the world would ask of you, but to touch the I am within you, and move in accordance with that wisdom, no matter where it seems to lead you, for your strength as wanderers is in knowing, accepting and rejoicing in the opportunity for servanthood upon a planet that is dark and much in need of the light and the love that you convey beyond all words and ions. 54 I especially like this model of the self in marriage as working all out for harmony but in the context of the IAM, or creator, within, for this orients the self to marriage in a way that preserves the boundaries and the free will between the two mates, and places the reliance squarely on the relationship with the Creator, and with the self. Marriage is not a gift given to us all, and when it comes, it needs to be seen for the gem it can be. We are going to live our lives. Here we are, the party has begun, and we will be eating, drinking and either making merry or not until we cock up our toes and leave this fair world behind. In marriage, we find a partner for the suffering as well as the joyful times, for the lows as well as the highs. Metaphysically speaking, marriage is a fast track for spiritual seekers. Certainly the most efficient way for spiritual seekers to work upon themselves is to be in relationship, especially the primary mated relationship. This is a great advantage for those who are aware of the process of spiritual evolution, to accept in a conscious way the burden of communication so that differing viewpoints about commonly witnessed catalyst can be shared without judgment and with mutual respect. 0.55 Naturally, this is a lot easier to see either before the far, or in hindsight. Mike Korenko repines after the ending of his first marriage in 1993, "Throughout my life I have had situations in which I wish I would have used the time more productively. I guess the best example is my marriage. I try not to get down on myself for it. But to be honest, there are those times that I do feel regret, and a bit of anger at myself, for not using the time I had with my wife and daughter to the fullest." 56, 290, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships by 1996. However, Mike is once again in love. She is the one I came here with, and we have finally found each other again. The emotions I felt, and continue to feel both as a human and felt by the soul have been utterly amazing. I don't think that I can put it all into words right now. I wish I could. I wish I could share this with the world. 57 When I last heard from Mike, he was writing to let me know he and Lydia were moving into a new house, where they hoped they could begin to hold study and meditation meetings, opening their home to the public and attempting to serve within their marriage. Here is a man who definitely learns from experience, and has become a faith-filled miner in search of the many gems of marriage. Grey Wolf writes to express her very positive feelings about the wedded state. "My ability to trust others was not very high when my husband and I wed. I would often be extremely clingy to him, if you understand what I mean. I'd want to be with him 24/7 due to the fact that I couldn't believe someone who ally saw something so wonderful in me that they want to spend the rest of their life with me. It's almost as if I had finally found something to belong to with being married to him. This unconditional love I received from my husband was something very new to me, and I had a very difficult time adjusting to it. Understandably, my husband felt smothered at times and was very patient with me." 58 This underlying issue of trust is very central to the success of a marriage. We all have inner doubts to some extent about our real worth and desirability. A loving mate can alleviate these painful imaginings, and an insensitive one can hurt us deeply. One great barrier to this unconditional love, faith and trust in each other is the asp of marriage that those of Ra called the adversary relationship. Don is asking them about sexual energy transfers, and they say, "Ra, the sexual energy transfers and blockages are more a manifestation or example of that which is more fundamental than the other way about. Therefore, as your peoples became open to the concepts of bellicosity and the greed of ownership, these various distortions then began to filter down through the tree of mind into body complex expressions, the sexual expression being basic to that complex." Questioner: "I just need to know then if this works through the racial memory and infests the entire population in some way?" 291, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. Ra: "I am Ra. The racial memory contains all that has been experienced. Thus there is some, shall we say, contamination even of the sexual, this showing mostly in your own culture as the various predispositions to adversary relationships, or, as you call them, marriages, rather than the free giving one to another in the love and the light of the infinite creator." 59 Our culture infests us with the idea of getting an advantage, and not being taken advantage of. This whole line of reasoning makes marriage into a mere earthly contra, and a tottery one at that. We find that within your culture there is the basic gathering instinct that has been somewhat distorted, so that the giving unto another freely and joyfully is not that which is naturally exercised. Thus, there is, within many cultures of your planetary sphere, the desire to better the self, with secondary concern for others. This basic desire is that which is worked upon by all who seek to move the self along the path of evolution, for it is the turning outward of the focus of the attention that allows an entity to widen the point of view to the degree necessary for embarking upon a service to others' path in an harvestable fashion. 60 Without clarion of this cultural tendency, an idealistic marriage can rapidly turn very sour and service to self-oriented. The means of mating that in your culture is termed the marriage has as part of its officials through your segregating of rights and responsibilities, the agreeing upon a contractual basis to the fulfilling of various duties within this marriage process, so that there is seen to be by those parties who engage within this process the necessity to give and receive in a measured manner so that there is the fulfilling of the duties. The process of culturally construing this type of relationship is one which enhances their, shall we say, more difficult nature of the mating and provides additional catalyst to many who find the working through the pre-incarnatively programmed catalyst difficult enough. 61 This may be seen as one of the more vivid understatements those of you have ever made. The grabby, gathering, thing-oriented culture from which we spring is the single most pervasive source of distorted perceptions and expiations by those who come to marriage hoping to have a beautiful union. It really comes down to loving and trusting, and letting go of the concept of equal work. We will always think we are doing more than the other. Usually, both partners are really trying their best. But so many childhood pains and learned quirks get in the way of seeing this. 292, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. We realize that those who are in mated relationships have special problems. This is due to their expiations of each other. Had you no expiations of another entity, it would be very easy to be polite. However, among your peoples the mated relationship is one in which two become intimately involved enough that each attempts to learn to treat the other as creator, to trust each other. Yet each is a very distorted version of love, a very confused rendition of creation, therefore trust is hard to come by between people. We do not ask you, therefore, to trust each other first, but rather to step back from the mate, from the difficulties which intimacy brings and choose instead to live within the least distorted creation which you are aware of, to refrain from forcing changes, right or wrong, shall we say, in a situation. Until you have moved your consciousness to a higher and therefore more real and less distorted plane of consciousness. That plane of consciousness is that which one uses to meet with the Creator within. 62 Treating each other as the Creator is a bit abstra. But here is a more concrete substitute. Pretend we are completely in love with our mates. Look for the virtues and blessings the mate offers, and comment thankfully on them to the mate. As if love abounds. In time, we may well find the reality coming from the pretense. I have used this trick of mine myself when things got tough, and it has worked for me. This gambit is based on an underlying trust, in the mate and in the worth of the marriage. When I look back at the advent of trust within Jim's and my marriage, the first thing that I see is that it is not finished. I can still hurt his feelings, and he can still hurt mine, because we mishear each other sometimes. Day before yesterday I wasted at least 10 good minutes of my short life being angry with him for something I thought he said. Fortunately, we know enough after 13 years of marriage to go to each other and ask for clarity right away. He'd said something altogether different, something dear and sweet and not remotely rude. Silly me. Again. For Jim and me, there have been two times when trust bloomed at a new level. The first occasion was in the early stages of my rehabilitation from crippling rheumatoid disease, soon after abdominal surgery in 1992. Jim had been my anchor during my invalidism. It was very hard work, but he served with virtually no complaint. When I began to gain a life of my own, Jim did not know how best to adapt his role to respond to the changes. I began driving again, Although Jim wanted to continue driving me, fearing my rusty skills, I insisted on driving myself. Jim's rear iron was the fury of the terminally worried man, with all his concern and care being rigid. It was clear to me that he was in a terrible state, wanting both to take care of me. 293, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships and to Slaughter Me. I also saw that I had this blend of extreme feelings for him as well, although I was not nearly as skilled at blazing. Change of this magnitude is difficult. I calmed him down by saying that I felt I had the solution. He had been around me for years, and he did trust me to have something sensible to say, so imagine his surprise when I told him that rather than trying to be tearful, we needed to clear the air. I told him that he needed to tell me how he wanted to kill me. "Are you absolutely sure of this?" he asked. I nodded, and braced myself. He obliged. It was a rather long diatribe, imaginative and eloquent, and very lethal. Outpoured years of frustration and not knowing just what to do to help. I could feel the atmosphere brightening and lightening as the poison was purged. When he finished, I gave a good rendition of my frustrations as well. And after we were done, we had opened a new level of trust with each other. All our determined politeness had created a stoppage of energy, and we could both feel the healing that clear communication had brought. We dissolved in hugs and relief, and Jim let me drive on my own, although it was a great worry to him for a while, until my skill level rose. The second breakthrough was a happenstance on a vacation we had in 1994 along the Atlantic shore. A hurricane was coming, and it provoked a couple of very dangerous riptides. We were caught in one of them, and were being swept out to sea. I took all my strength and pushed him to safety. My effort, however, had taken me farther out, and in the next little while, as I tried to swim towards shore and failed, I wondered if I was going to end this incarnation on a perfectly beautiful, sunny day, in clear sight of land, but unable to get there. I have since learned that in a strong tide like that, the thing to do is to swim parallel to the shore until we are out of the tide, for they are usually only 10 to 30 feet across. I did make it to shore safely, eventually, by treading water until I was able to body surf in on an especially coherent wave, and found that, because Jim realized I had willingly given up my life for his, at least potentially, he had found the barriers of his heart come crashing down. He did not know they were there until they fell. Neither did I. We cannot choose how the process of developing trust in a marriage will come about. All we know is that it will entail suffering and challenge. There is so much about ourselves we do not know, not to mention the mystery of any other human being that comes within our ken. All we can do is be alert to the possibilities of the moment, and follow our hearts and our hunches. Marriage is never easy. It is an ordeal. 294, Chapter 9, Sex and Relationships. This instrument has been reading the work of your author, Joseph Campbell, and we find within the instrument's mind the concept which is consistent with his theory that myth explains the truer nature of humankind. The phrase is, marriage is an ordeal. It is through the great sacrifice of both entities that a marriage becomes a spiritual reality. The gestation of this primal and cornerstone unity is that consideration which you may call deep love or deep friendship or deep commitment. The unmarried who have these feelings do not have as many raised expiations of change as do those who choose the married state. There is indeed much sacrifice in creating the first social memory complex. To be together is the nature of the density which you enjoy. The lessons are only partially those of aloneness and solitude. Much necessary catalyst awaits the seeker within the illusions of relationship. Thus, we would say to ever lower the expiations of another self, to remember the desire for the truth, and to remember also the desire to be a positively oriented being. Now, this is to say that without minimizing the effects of negative catalyst, the self-forgiven and self-loving self will stand upon its own two feet and consider not judgment of any other, but the most helpful way to respond. If there is no blockage within the feelings and thoughts, expiations and hopes within the entity, the energy shall flow through to the heart, chakra, and the negative catalyst will fade, slowly or quickly. 63 More than any other one thing, spouses need each other's respect and good opinion. If a concern is substantial, communicate until it is worked through. If it is not, work to forgive and move on. Maintain first of all that basic tenor of respect.